Good afternoon. I'm Adam Ragusea, and it's time for Ask the Mayor. Kokomo Mayor Greg Goodnight is on the line with us, and we're going to be getting to him in just a moment for the program. But first, we've got a quick program note that we want to go through with you. Feel free to tune in to WFIU tomorrow and Friday. That's this Thursday and Friday at noon. We're going to have live call-in programs with the Democratic candidates for governor, hosted by Indiana Public Broadcasting's Marianne Holland. Tomorrow, we'll have Joel Long Thompson as the guest, and then on Friday, it'll be Jim Schellinger. This is an Indiana Public Broadcasting production, and it'll be broadcast from the studios of our sister station, WFYI, in Indianapolis. We will nonetheless be carrying it here right here on WFIU, and you can still join the conversation by phone. They'll give out the numbers during the program. You can also send an email anytime, and we'd certainly encourage you to send an email if you have a question in advance, and that email will be news@WFYI.org. That's news@WFYI.org. Now, if that wasn't exciting enough, on Friday after that program with Jim Schellinger, we're going to do a special noon edition at 1 o'clock. And we'll be honored to have Indiana University President Michael McRobbie as our guest in the studio for that program. So that's a special noon edition, ironically, at 1 o'clock on Friday with Michael McRobbie. And again, we'd encourage you to send your email questions, if you have any, in advance to noon@indiana.edu for Michael McRobbie on Friday at 1 o'clock, noon@indiana.edu. So with that out of the way, Mayor Goodnight, thanks so much for joining us today. How's the weather up there?
Weather's great. Thank you very much, Adam.
You got your dogwoods blooming yet?
I couldn't say. I'm not one of those stop and smell the flowers kinds of person. So
yeah, I guess I my mom always told me I shouldn't ask a former Steelworkers Union president about ornamental plants.
Not my forte.
Right. Well, the number to call to speak with Mayor Goodnight, and we certainly want to extend a special invitation to our Kokomo and Howard County listeners to do so, 877-285-9348 is the toll-free number. That's 877-285-9348, or you can send an email to mayor@indiana.edu. Now, Mr. Mayor, we mentioned at the top of the program about the Democratic gubernatorial candidates. You're a Democrat, and I actually don't recall having seen if you've aligned yourself with either of these two candidates as of yet.
No, at this time, I've talked with both candidates for governor quite a few times, and have a lot of respect and for both of them. But I have not endorsed either one and will not be doing an endorsement in the primary.
Okay. Well, you want to share any of your particular impressions of either Joel Long Thompson or Jim Schellinger?
I think they're both good candidates, and I've been privileged to spend quite a bit of time with both of them. So,
Well, let me ask you this. For you, what's the biggest issue for Kokomo in this governor's election?
Well,
whether it's the primary or the general?
It's probably no different than the biggest issue in the national election, and it's the economy and future growth and the things that are associated with that. The current governor has done a lot of outsourcing and talked about different parts of the state government, and I've never been a big fan of that. Hmm. And for various reasons, if it's being done in the private sector, I would think that the public sector should be able to emulate the same programs and the same philosophy, and should be able to do things as well. So,
right.
He's done that with FSA and some other things.
Sure. 877-285-9348 is the toll-free number, mayor@indiana.edu. And let's go ahead to the emails. And here's an email that I think might have a false premise, which it says, in the previous election cycle, you were against force annexation. What is your position today? And I'm not quite sure that's right, but that is apropos of some news today, correct?
Well, it's not correct. I've never been against forced annexation. And I don't know. I guess I've forced annexation. I'm not familiar with that term.
Yeah, it's a rough sounding term.
Forced annexation would be similar. I mean, our country's based on the premise of majority rule, so I mean, I could be forced to serve under George Bush or something like that, and I don't know if that's the case. So forced annexation, I don't know, really, I don't know, that's kind of a hard term to comment on, but I will answer the basic part of the question, we are looking at annexation. I mean, we have some growing communities in the state of Indiana, Fort Wayne, Lafayette, Evansville.
And by growing, you mean growing in terms of area?
Growing in area and population.
Right.
And Lafayette, Columbus, Bloomington. And the reason those communities are growing is not because they've had a huge, massive amounts of people move into the old inner city part of Lafayette. It's because they've expanded their boundaries and included areas that are contiguous to the current city outline.
And so what are you looking at around Kokomo?
We're looking at a large area around Kokomo. The probably a lot of it to the southwest side of Kokomo. There's been a lot of growth there. And we're probably more to the west, southwest, and the southeast. Probably the largest number of people.
Well, what's in it for those neighborhoods if they are annexed?
It's kind of interesting with the new circuit breakers coming in. A lot of the homes that we are looking at and the neighborhoods we're looking at annexing, they will the opportunity exists, and it's going to be different for every individual home, that some homes will be brought in, they will have their property taxes lowered, and they will receive city services such as police, fire protection, police, or city snow removal, trash removal, street lights, and many of them already receive city sewers, use city sewers, and they pay 25% more, and they will get a 25% reduction in their sewage rates.
Yeah, I suppose this is also to a certain extent apropos of Senator Jeff Drozda, former Senator Jeff Drozda, who had proposed a rather vigorous anti-annexation bill during the previous legislative session, which I know you had opposed,
yeah.
And now it's being brought up as the candidates are vying to fill that seat. Let me ask you this. What's in it for you in terms of the city government? Is this a way for you to calm some of your fiscal problems?
Well, the answer to that is yes and no. Let's do the no part.
right.
Well, the no part is the city has we're going to face our financial situation that we're up against. We're going to face it regardless of whether we annex or not. So that part of it is no. This is not a way to fix a current problem. We will fix that internally this year, regardless of annexation. So, but the other part of the answer is yes. It does help resolve the long-term financial situation of the city.
Simply by expanding the tax base.
Well, that way and as well as perception. There are a lot of communities that are not perceived as growing communities, and there's many that are. And we want to make sure that we are in that group that is considered growing. Plus, we have a lot of people in these areas that are using city services
and
are not paying for them. And the other part is we are one community. And I say this, if annexation is a bad idea, it was probably a bad idea back in the 1970s. And we never should have annexed Highland Springs or Vinton Woods or Western Woods or some of these other neighborhoods that we annexed years ago. And if we had not taken a stand and annexed those areas 25, 30 years ago, our population would probably be less than 30,000 people, and we would have city residents at about 30,000 people, and then we'd just have other people at about 30,000 people.
So how do you undertake this? Do you go into some of these neighborhoods and hold some town hall meetings to try to get people accustomed to the idea, or do you do some mailings? How do you start? It's that courtship, yeah.
That's a very good question. What we're doing is we've met with one of the newspapers. We're meeting with the other one today, and I've already met with some of the council members over the last month. We've met yesterday. I met with the Realtors Association, and we are going to go out and go on the road and go to. I've met with the Kiwanis group. And we're just going to meet with neighborhood groups and anybody in the community and talk to them about the good and the bad if there is for some people, and just lay it out there. And like I say, if it's not a good idea, then we probably should have never done it 30 years ago.
And then how do you actually do it? Are there referenda among the people who live in those areas for annexation?
Yeah, what we have to do, we have to put together, and we are in the process of doing that. And we're putting together a fiscal plan. By law, we have to be able to provide the same level of services to people that are annexed non-capital services within 1 year, capital services within 3 years. And so we have to put together a fiscal plan to show that we can actually do that and provide these services. The easy part is that we already have many of these neighborhoods are already on city sewers, and they are they've signed waivers that they will not oppose annexation if it ever comes to fruition, and it's going to. So so really, a lot of the
groundwork is laid already.
Yeah, a lot of the heavy expenses have already been undertaken. We also provide fire protection to areas outside the city of Kokomo in the center township area. So there's a large number of people that are already receiving city fire protection. And then in some of the surrounding neighborhoods, they receive, they may not receive police protection, but they receive police presence because we have to drive through some of the unannexed areas to get to the parts of the city. So they already have police patrol and some other amenities. As well as using the park systems and things like that.
Yeah. 877-285-9348. That's the toll-free number to call to join the conversation, 877-285-9348. Or you can send an email to mayor@indiana.edu. Let's go ahead and talk about the fiscal condition of the city, which was that you and your city controller, Jim Brannon, I believe you commissioned an independent audit of the city's finances.
Yes, at the beginning of the year, one of the first things I did was we asked for an independent audit. Right. We received the information,
and the news was a little rough, right?
Well, you know, it's not perfect, but it's not. It's not as bad as it could be, but the problem being with the changes made at the State House this year, the having the courage to raise taxes is no longer an option. 75% of our revenue comes from property taxes, so and this kind of goes into the one of the reasons for annexation as well is a lot of the smaller streams of revenue comes to us from the federal and state government based on population and road miles. So even though we have 45,000 residents, we don't get our fair share of cigarette tax money, alcohol tax money, some of the wheel and road taxes.
The classic argument being that county residents are stressing all of those city systems when they come into work and use the services.
Right. It's no different than it is in so many other communities. I always ask the question, how many people that live in the surrounding areas of the county are dependent on the economy of the city? And I think that's a pretty large number of people. Not everyone is dependent on the economy of the city. And then the follow-up question is, now how many people that live in the city are dependent on the economy of the county? I mean, how many people actually that live in the city work in the county?
Mm-hmm.
And there aren't very many. I mean, there are some.
Some.
We have gas stations and a few restaurants and some of those things. Of course, there are some, but predominantly, I mean, it's a lopsided question. So.
Well, but what did you learn from the audit itself? Is it that net revenue is flat for the next 2 years, or is it going to go down?
It will probably go down somewhat. And I always enjoy a challenge. I mean, I really do. I think that, you know, I feel very comfortable being in the driver's seat. We can make minor adjustments to a lot of city employees and some of the services and streamline our city services and become more efficient and really correct this problem. It's not a we don't have to go in and slash wages and benefits and eliminate services. We can make some minor adjustments at all levels and come out of this thing in a few months or in a year in much better condition and set us up for long-term future growth.
So no major personnel cuts in the future that you can foresee?
Well, you know, we've had a layoff, and then we've had
some
cuts. So we're running the city with 22 less employees than the former mayor was running it with in March of last year. So, and we will not be adding to those numbers really at all. We are working on some automation and some changing and combining responsibilities too. So there probably will be even a handful of more job elimination. Some of it will be through attrition, and some of it will be just we'll have to make some hard choices.
Of course, you're also looking at exposing yourself to some additional liability in terms of having to provide services if you go ahead with annexation. So does that put you between a rock and a hard place?
Now, what are you saying?
I'm sorry. You're talking about keeping the personnel levels flat or even reducing them via attrition or some other measures like that. But if you talk about – but if you're going to annex areas of the city, you're going to have to provide services
absolutely.
To more people.
Absolutely. And let me just preface that by saying that this is not – the situation we're in is not because employees aren't hardworking and because our city – I just wanted to make sure that there's been some feedback that, well, is this because city employees are not doing their jobs? No, it has nothing to do with that. But so it's, that's not that way in any way, shape, or form. Let me just say, if you had a map in front of you of the city of Kokomo, you'd see that there are areas that we have to drive through. We'll drive down, for instance, Southway Boulevard, and we drive down Southway Boulevard in the city, then we go out to the county, then we're back into the city again, and we take a right turn, we're in the county, and there are some things we can streamline. And things like trash routes and snow plows that drive down those streets anyway. It's a matter of just driving while we're driving down the road, just dropping the snow blade and clearing the street. And to get to some areas with our police cars, we have to drive and patrol these areas anyway. So there are a lot of those things that will not go up depending on which areas we annex. The other part of it is there are a certain amount of fixed costs. We're not talking about adding any more acreage to the park system. So the park system budget will not change if we add 12,000, 15,000 people. Some amenities like Kokomo Beach will not change. The senior center, the cost to run the senior center will not go up if we annex other people. The cost to run the daycare center won't go up if we annex other people. The maintenance of City Hall and a lot of the standard offices for mayor, clerk, council salaries, city attorney and people like that, the costs will not change if we annex other people. So there are a lot of costs that will not change even if you bring in new revenue. Now, if you annex a huge amount of area, there are certain things we will have to do. Yes, we'll have to add some police officers. We'll probably have to add another trash route. Instead of having six routes, we'll probably go to seven. So there are some other changes, but there are a lot of them that won't change and that are locked in at its current level.
It's funny. We've come a long way from the days of having a city wall around the city that defined its borders. And now, especially, it seems, in the age of GIS and police cars with GPS in them, it just seems that municipal borders have all these kind of crazy islands. And it gets very, very complex. It'll be interesting to see how those borders change over time. Here's an email question from Jennifer on the issue of annexation. It says, will the recent annexation plans affect the planning for the Economic Development Group merger initiative? And should more representatives from the outlying areas of Kokomo be included?
Well, I think that's a great question. The economic development groups that are merging includes county, city, the KHDC, which is the Kokomo Howard County Development Corporation, and so there are a lot.
And remind us, that's everybody. It's everybody involved in economic development, with the exception of Convention and Visitors Bureau, right?
Gosh, Adam, your memory is great.
Thank you very much.
you know a lot about Kokomo.
I get paid the big bucks.
I know. But thanks for really listening, paying attention. But anyway, so no, it shouldn't affect it. In any way, as far as any of the changes in the proposals and all those things, so that should stay on course. And I think the goal is to have those groups merged by the end of the year or even sooner. So I don't see that this would affect it in any way at all.
Here's another email question, and it says it's on a topic quite apart from what we've been talking about. It says, with the Michael Vick case still fresh on our minds and animal cruelty ordinances being passed by other states and on more local levels in other cities, are there any plans to strengthen animal cruelty laws in Kokomo during the next few years?
To be honest with you, I have not addressed that, and I know of no plans to address that issue. I don't know if it's a problem at this point. Of course, it never hurts to be proactive and take that issue on, but that's probably, if I can remember, I think that's the first time that issue has came up, at least to me. But
I guess we can go ahead and recommend this person bring that up with their council person.
Yeah, probably. And I'm always welcome to look at that, and it's probably not a bad idea. But if they have talked to their council members, they have not shared that with me.
All right. We're speaking with Kokomo Mayor Greg Goodnight here on WFIU's Ask the Mayor. We've got about 10 more minutes left with the mayor on the program. You can call in toll-free 877-285-9348, or you can send an email to mayor at indiana.edu. I want to get your thoughts on something quick, Mr. Mayor, is that Haynes is having a CEO step down, and I wonder if one of your largest employers in the city has a shakeup in upper management, if that just kind of makes you nervous.
Well, you know, I don't know if you are aware. That's my former
employer. Yeah, it's very formal. You're right.
Yep,
yeah.
I was there for almost 19 years. I don't know if it makes me nervous or not, but the current CEO, Francis Petro, he does a great job there. He is a not only an industrial leader, but he really is a community leader. He's somebody that probably has more people walk into his office asking for assistance for their causes than probably anybody in the community. And he's involved in various boards in the community, and he doesn't just sit in a seat. He actually rolls up his sleeves and takes charge. So he says, even though he's retiring, that he's going to stay involved in the city of Kokomo, and I hope that is true, because you know we definitely need him. As far as the parts with Haynes on who's going to succeed him, you know, I've been there for 19 years, and I know a lot of the vice presidents, and there's two or three that stand out as being the easy choices to be on the short list for a successor. So I'm comfortable with the choices they have in front of them. Of course, it could always be somebody from the outside. Mm-hmm. It makes you, you know, there's always you have to be concerned, because Mr. Petro was always concerned about the community, and I don't know that somebody, the next person that will be in that seat, will be as devoted and committed to the community as he is. So it's a concern.
Well, Haynes has been around for, 100 years in Kokomo?
It'll be 100 years, I think, we're about to 96 years, yeah.
Wow, geez, yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's quite a track record.
Yeah.
Let's see. mayor@indiana.edu is the email, 877-285-9348. You can call toll-free. We were kind of joking before the program that you might have to take a call from a presidential candidate.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know, it wasn't just a joke. I mean, you've been on the phone with Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, and Barack Obama over the last month, haven't you?
Yes, I have.
And how did that go?
It was very interesting. I was able to attend a rally in Logansport and see President Clinton speak. And was able to go there, meet him, and take part in that. And then a few days later, he sent me a thank you note, a thank you letter. And then I was surprised he called me probably 2 weeks ago. And while I was in my office, and we talked for maybe 5 minutes. He asked for an endorsement. I told him I was very supportive of the senator, but. Frankly, the hard part is I'm just new to my job. I've been in for 14, 15 weeks, and my focus is on governing the city right now. But told him I was, I still may do an endorsement if it's, if they're still searching for one before the before election day. But right now, I actually had to tell him no, which is not easy, because I am a big fan of President Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
And then about 2 weeks ago, I was in I was with one of our council members and got a phone call from Senator Obama, and we talked a little bit, and I told him the same thing, and then encouraged him to make sure he made a trip to Kokomo. And he said he was planning on it in the future.
Based on the events of last night, that looks like there's a pretty good possibility of that.
Yeah. And then last Monday, a week ago Monday, Senator Clinton called, and she asked the same thing, and I encouraged her to come to Kokomo and made sure that both candidates knew we'd do whatever we could to help facilitate any event. And I'd be glad to do anything I could do. So it's pretty humbling for me. It's
Well, it's interesting. I mean, it gives us a sense of just how local this game gets, and mayors across the state have already put in their endorsements.
Right.
And I just wonder if you've left yourself some wiggle room here, as you've been talking to us, in terms of what you might do before over the next 2 weeks before primary day. And I wonder if you were to go ahead and endorse either candidate, what would you feel that should mean to the citizens of your city?
Yeah. I don't know how much. I saw Governor Rendell the other night on CNN or one of the news channels, and they were talking about they
Governor
actually,
of Pennsylvania, we should say.
Governor of Pennsylvania.
My former governor.
Yeah,
full disclosure.
And he mentioned that for the first time in his life, it was an interesting interview, he said he got called for a poll, and that one of the questions was, does it influence you at all that Governor Rendell did
he got called on his own
yeah,
poll?
Yeah, he said, oh, absolutely, he's a brilliant man or something. Whether he did or not, I don't know. It's pretty cute. But anyways, but the poll showed that most people, it doesn't have a huge impact. I think it was less than 10% are actually moved by that. So I think there's been enough coverage nationally, if people have been even paying, just given it a slight bit of attention, there's probably been enough coverage for them to make up their own mind, and I'm not sure that me going one way or the other would have much of an impact. I mean, I just can't see that happening. But
that said, I do want to ask you, let's say that you get a visit from Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton. Where do you take them? What do you show them about Kokomo that you think will be illustrative, that you'd want the next president to see?
Part of me would love to showcase our town and show some things. I probably would be more apt to take them to a place where we've had a place here in town that's called the Kokomo Sanitary Pottery just recently downsized it's now a warehouse and it's a distribution center for products that are now made in China. So they went.
Yeah, that was an American Standard pottery, wasn't it?
Yep,
yeah, and
yep.
Then it was bought up by a Chinese company. Yeah,
yep.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, no. You, once again, very good job.
Thank
Adam.
You very much. I'm
well versed on Kokomo. but anyways, yes. And so now they're down to about 18, 20 employees, where just 3 years ago they had 300 employees. And so I think I'd probably take them maybe to the, to show them that, when you get there in Washington, D.C., something more to remember what it's like here and that, these are good people that are facing sometimes tough times.
Yeah.
And we're going to need all the help we can get.
All right, Mr. Mayor, we're coming up on our being up out of time here, and I just want to leave you just another 60 seconds or so. I'm wondering if you just have any thoughts on the passing of former Councilman Tom Harrison, who died at 69 earlier this month.
Yeah, well, thanks for giving me time. Councilman Harrison, I had the privilege of knowing him as a child. He was a friend of my late father's, and he was a maverick on the city council before the term maverick was probably even used in politics. He was a true he ran always he was a member of the Republican Party, but he was one of a true independent, and it was a loss for Kokomo. He's a very good man. I actually saw his widow today, earlier today. She was up here at City Hall, and it's sad passing.
All right. Well, I appreciate your time as always, Mr. Mayor. Thanks so much for speaking with us, and we look forward to talking with you again.
Adam, thank you very much.
This has been Ask the Mayor with Kokomo Mayor Greg Goodnight. I'm Adam Ragusea. I want to remind our listeners again of a couple of these program note points. Tune in to WFIU Thursday and Friday. That's tomorrow and Friday at noon. We'll have live call-in programs with the Democratic candidates for governor. Hosted by Indiana Public Broadcasting's Marianne Holland. Tomorrow it'll be Jolong Thompson, and then on Friday we'll have Jim Schellinger. And this is an Indiana Public Broadcasting production. It'll be broadcast live from our sister station, WFYI, in Indianapolis. But we will be carrying it right here on WFIU, and you can still join the conversation. We hope you will by calling via phone during the program. We'll give out that number during the program, or you can send an email in advance to news@WFYI.org. That's news@WFYI.org. And then after we speak with Jim Schellinger on Friday, we'll do a special noon edition at a later time. At 1 o'clock on Friday, we'll be having Indiana University President Michael McRobbie as our guest in the studio, and we're very excited for that. And you can send in your questions in advance to noon@indiana.edu. That's noon@indiana.edu for Michael McRobbie. That's a special noon edition at 1 o'clock on Friday, and we hope that you'll join us. There's no Ask the Mayor next week because it's the fifth Wednesday of the month. We'll be back 2 weeks from today with Columbus Mayor Fred Armstrong. Production support for Ask the Mayor does come from the South Dunn Street Project, represented by Brian Lappin Real Estate. For producer Colin Bishop and engineer Mike Paskash, thanks so much for listening.